When I was little, my grandmother had bird feeders and a bird bath in her backyard. Some of my favorite memories growing up were listening to her tell me everything she knew about the feathered friends that visited her yard daily. How amazing would it have been for us to be able to capture images and videos of that experience and to be able to share them with others? Well, if you're ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level, FeatherSnap makes Wi-Fi enabled smart bird feeders that blend the best of technology and nature. Get a high-def glimpse of your feathered friends with a top-of-the-line camera so every visitor can be seen with clarity and detail. A unique dual-feeder bin helps attract more species, and built-in solar panels keep your camera's battery going strong. FeatherSnap's mobile app creates a truly immersive experience, allowing you to collect and organize your favorite pics and videos and earn badges along the way. Best of all, FeatherSnap offers expert-trained AI identification of more than 275 North American species thanks to their in-house ornithologist. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. As most of you know, I'm a big fan of the outdoors, and most of my time is dedicated to beekeeping and gardening-related discussions. But you probably did not know that one of my responsibilities as a kid was caring for our houseplants. Yes, part of my $5 a week allowance went towards making sure all of the houseplants were healthy and happy. We used to have shamrocks, Christmas cactus, philodendron, and more. Which leads us to today's podcast sponsor, and a special thanks to Palm Street. Palm Street is the best live shopping app for the plant lover community. You can buy and sell rare plants, crystals, ceramics, and other unique goods. Connect with trusted plant sellers and nurseries that sell nationwide. Shop 24/7 and with live human customer support. What I love most about Palm Street is joining a live stream where sellers walk through all the details and characteristics of the plants they're offering. You can get live answers to your questions and see what questions others have asked as well. It's such a great way to engage for buyers and sellers. And as a special offer, new users will receive $5 app credit, 10% off their first order, and up to $6 off shipping for 3 orders. Palm Street, available on Google Play or the App Store. Hey everybody, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Today is a special episode here. Well, it's not so special anymore, I guess, since we've already done one before, but this is going to be Bees in the News, Episode 2, International Edition. I deliberately extended my search to push out to the rest of the world to look for something a little bit different so that it wasn't always focused on the U.S., because I recognize we do have a lot of folks throughout the world who are listening, which I appreciate you. Thank you so very much. And let's jump right in. We're going to start in honor of I finally broke this, by the way, but I have my like week and a half, 2 week stretch of my daily Australian accent. You'll be happy to know that I have finally broken that. I'm about 2 or 3 days fake Australian accent free. But in honor of that, we're going to start here in Australia. And like I did before, I will post links to these sites with these articles on the Beekeeping for Newbies. That's newbees.com. There is a section there for In the News, and I'll post links to all the articles if you want to go and read them yourself. So this is AgriFutures in Australia, and the article is Varroa Resources Launched. In a critical juncture for the honeybee industry, AgriFutures Australia, in partnership with the industry's peak national representative body, the Australian Honeybee Industry Council, the AHBIC, is set to launch a suite of Varroa mite-focused resources. The suite of resources follows the completion of the Resilient Beekeeping in the Face of Varroa project, an AgriFutures Australia research initiative. The project has been a key focus for the AgriFutures honeybee and pollination program following the incursion of Varroa in June of 2022. In September of 23, the eradication of Varroa was deemed no longer technically feasible, leading to a transition to management phase aiming to slow the spread and limit the impacts of Varroa on Australia's beekeeping industry. Now, I was actually tracking this a while back, and I know that Australia pumped a ton of money into trying to eradicate Varroa early before it got out of hand. It's just tough. It is such a tough bug to beat. Continuing on here, its introduction, referring to Varroa, jeopardized the critical role played by 29,800 skilled commercial and recreational beekeepers that collectively managed 530,000 hives. These hives and its residents are vital for the pollination of 35 agricultural crops and many of our favorite foods, including a range of nuts, berries, and stone fruits. So the article continues on to talk about some of the things that are being done as part of the program, how you can get access to these resources, and what some of their hopes, dreams, goals, aspirations are around this program. So these resources can be found at the AHBIC website. So for those of you who are familiar with that, feel free to go there. Like I said, I'll post links to this. If you need to track down the article, you can find direct links to it from there. But to learn more about the AgriFutures Honey, Bee, and Pollination Program, visit their website. Okay, next up, Northern Ontario beekeeper advising others to have colonies tested for chemicals. A Northern Ontario beekeeper is sounding the alarm after discovering most of her bees had died earlier this year. Janice Mitchell is a veterinarian by trade, and so she decided to send some of the deceased bees away for testing. The beekeeper was surprised to learn most of those tested had high levels of glyphosate, a toxic herbicide found in products like Roundup. CTV News staff walked Mitchell's backyard in Tacoma Township on Manitoulin Island earlier this month. She said the constant soothing hum she would hear in her ears when outside has gone silent these days. It was in February when I discovered the majority of my bees at the farm property that we're at here had succumbed, and that's what I needed to find out, said Mitchell. Thousands of bees across 15 colonies had died, and she immediately got to work to find answers. Surprising results. According to the lab where Mitchell sent her bees, including the queen, the specimens contained 0.57 parts per million of glyphosate. Health Canada guidelines set the maximum acceptable concentration for a human, who's just obviously a tiny bit bigger than a bee, in a glass of drinking water is 0.28 parts per million, and these bees contained twice that level. Mitchell said the result came as a surprise. It wasn't the fact that I'm not going to get any honey. It's the fact that what's the bigger implication, she said. I'm studying these bees, but what about the natural, the wild pollinators, the wild bees? What about the water runoff in our Blue Jay Creek, the Manitou, all of our water sources? What about the birds that eat these bugs? It's the bottom. I think it's the canary in the coal mine. Mitchell has forwarded her findings to other researchers, including the Ontario Beekeepers Association. So the article continues here. I mean, I think we all know what's going on. I mean, everything in our world in some way or another is kind of getting destroyed. We pump a lot of chemicals into everything. We've depleted all of our soils so much that we have to use a ton of chemicals to grow things. These chemicals get into the pollinators. They get into everything else. We're eating it. We're drinking it. It's in our foods. It's in these preservatives. But we have proof and some evidence here. And you know, I see a lot of these articles pretty regularly about how these herbicides and pesticides keep coming back over and over again to have negative impacts on the pollinators. And we're going to talk about it again in a few minutes. In the next article, we're going to go ahead and move over to Russia. I know a lot of people pick on Russia. I can tell you that in my life experience, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of people all over the world. And a lot of governments spend a whole lot of time demonizing people that are maybe a little bit different from them or who they don't agree with, and they got to make sure they get all of their people on board with hating all of these other people that we don't even know. I'll tell you, in my experience, most Iranian people, most Russians, Chinese, Northern Africans, people all over the world, people that I've met are just like you and I. They wake up in the morning, they want to go have a good day at work, they want to enjoy time with friends and family. They're not that different. But we have to continue to perpetuate this narrative of evil and hatred and all this kind of stuff. All the Russian people I've known and met have all been good people, great beekeepers out there, a lot to learn from them. But this one's coming out of Russia. Sorry about the rant. A proposed bill on increasing fines for violations of pesticide use in Russia to protect bees and the environment. In the State Duma, a bill has been introduced to increase the fines for violations of pesticide use rules. Fines for legal entities will rise to 450,000 rubles. The project was initiated by the Industrial Beekeepers of Russia. Incorrect pesticide use kills bees and harms human health. The bill presented in the State Duma provides for an increase in fines to between 350,000 rubles and repeated violations. The amount may reach 450,000 rubles. The bill presented in the State Duma provides for an increase in fines for violations of rules related to the use of pesticides and agrochemicals. According to the new legislation, legal entities will face a maximum fine of 350,000 rubles, and for repeat violations, the amount may reach 450,000 rubles. This comes out to be, I pulled up the math here on the side, somewhere between about $3,800 and $4,900 U.S. dollars, just to kind of give you a frame of reference. The explanatory note highlights that the initiative for the bill was proposed by the organization Industrial Beekeepers of Russia. The authors note that under current legislation, administrative fines for legal entities range from 10,000 to 100,000 rubles, or administrative suspension of activities for up to 90 days. For individuals engaged in entrepreneurial activities without creating a legal entity, the fine ranges from 2,000 to 5,000 rubles. Anyway, the article goes on to kind of talk about how these fines are assessed, repeat violations, who gets what, whether you're a private citizen or whether or not you're a regulated entity. But I think the key takeaway here is that you have another place that's saying, hey, we recognize there's a problem and we need to take some corrective action and impose some fines and penalties and whatever is needed to kind of hopefully help to get things slightly under control. Okay, the one and only article here that's going to be U.S.-based. New Hampshire Senate rejects beekeeper concerns, passes aerial pesticide bill. Despite objections from beekeepers across New Hampshire, the state Senate approved a bill Thursday that would allow people to spray pesticides from drones without notifying neighbors. House Bill 1698, which the New Hampshire House approved on March 28th, will become law if Governor Chris Sununu signs it. Beekeepers swarmed. Here comes some bee puns. Beekeepers swarmed into a Senate committee hearing on April 18th to oppose the bill. They said they want to be notified before aerial spraying so they can protect their bees by temporarily keeping them in their hives. Farmers testified that drone spraying allows for targeting of specific areas, reducing the amount of pesticide used and cutting down the danger of bees compared to ground spraying, which doesn't require notification. The Senate rejected an amendment Senator Deborah Altshuler proposed Thursday that would have required notification of registered beekeepers before drone spraying is done within 200 feet of their property. She noted there was a strong public sentiment against the bill. I have a thick file of written testimony that came in, and we had 235 people sign in against and only 9 signed in support, Altshuler said. The beekeepers have asked, just give us a little bit of notice so we can cover our hives. She said her amendment would address these concerns. This amendment gives farmers the window they can operate in and gives them some flexibility, but also lets the neighbors know this is going to happen, Altshuler said. It's just a way for the apiaries and the farmers to work together. It's just saying if you are going to spray from the air, let your neighbors know, and the beekeepers are the ones that really, really want to know. So my favorite comment here, Senator Howard Pearl said that the neighbor notification would be an undue regulation since it's not now required for ground application. He also said a notification requirement would add an extra level of complexity to the process of applying pesticides. So I think this introduces a bit of confusion to me. A notification requirement would add an extra level of complexity to the process. So I have this vision. I'm a farmer. I want to do some aerial drone spraying. Now, as they previously indicated, well, because they're doing it by drone, they're able to be very targeted to a specific area. So they know exactly where they're going to operate. So you pick up the phone, you dial a couple of numbers. Hi, neighbor. How's it going today? Hey, just wanted to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be doing some drone spraying. Is that cool with you? You want me to push it out a day? I can push it out a day. No problem. Thanks. Have a great day. Click. It's a 30-second thing. You just pick up the phone and make a call. So anyway, continuing on, House Bill 1698 would update a state law on the aerial application of pesticide. When the law was passed in 1995, aerial spraying was done by airplanes, helicopters, not drones. The law requires, among other things, that the state provide written approval for aerial spraying. So it goes on to kind of talk a little bit more about spraying and when you can, you can't, notification and all that kind of good stuff. But that's what's going on in New Hampshire. And last but not least, bees understand the benefits of teamwork, study finds. Bees understand the benefits of teamwork, a study suggests. Finnish researchers devised an experiment in which bumblebees were taught to push a small brick out of the way or navigate a tunnel to get a tasty nectar treat. The bees were taught to either carry out the task alone or with the help of a partner. Scientists found that in both tasks, the partner bees waited for their bee friend to appear before attempting to reach the reward, suggesting they understand the benefits of teamwork. Not going to try to pronounce the name of this doctor, but this doctor at the university said, we could tell the bees were waiting for their partner's help as opposed to just pausing because control bees that were trained to push the block alone did not pause. Comparing the partner bee groups against the control group, we concluded that the paired bumblebees were indeed waiting for their partners. Based on our observations, we believe they delay moving the block because they think they cannot do it on their own. So anyway, this was really kind of a cool thing. I saw the video the other day. I have no idea how I even came across this. But it was a video that had these bumblebees, and it showed different scenarios they were working through as part of this study. There was like a piece of string, and the bumblebee couldn't get underneath to get to the nectar. but he could get the string that was tied to a block of something sugary, and he was pulling the string, and literally you could see him pulling the string until it got tight, and he pulled out the treat. It was kind of a cool thing to watch and a neat thing to see. So if you want to read that article, I'll post that one as well. Well, folks, that is all that I have for you today on this episode of Bees in the News. If you have something special that you'd like to share, by all means, let me know, and I'll try to get that into the list. And I think I'm probably going to try to settle into this about once a week. It's not too terribly challenging to find articles of interest, so we'll see if we can keep this as a fairly regular thing. Outside of that, I'm going to get going. I've got a pretty busy next couple of days. I am still trying to target getting an episode out here this Friday. Got a lot of things going on, but we're going to try and make it happen. You folks have a great week, and I will look forward to talking to you soon. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3 for $10 on select Kellogg's Giant Size cereal with your card. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.